Beautiful. Thank you, Leonard and Beverly. Absolutely gorgeous. Amen. Jesus paid it all. So, you know, I often pray, Lord, hide me behind the cross. Literally, he hid me behind the cross today. But there's no better place to hide than behind the cross. Amen. And I appreciate those who have put up these beautiful decorations and these fresh flowers for the past Sabbath and today. What a wonderful privilege to celebrate this season of renewal, death, and resurrection. Praise the Lord for that. And so now we want to get into the Word of God. Amen? And so let us pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. Lord, for all you have done and all that you are doing. Lord, I do pray that you might hide me behind your cross, that you would increase and that we might all decrease, and that we might encounter the gospel today. I pray for freedom and victory and recreation in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. My subject is a better resurrection. A better resurrection. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I don't have my trusty screen today, so you're going to have to follow along and try to keep up. Hebrews 11, 33 through 40. A better resurrection. Hebrews 11, 33 through 40. Notice what the Bible says. It says, who by faith conquered kingdoms. How did they conquer kingdoms? By faith. Performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. Verse 34, quenched the power of fire. How? By faith. Escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain, what's that phrase there? A better resurrection. And others experienced mocking, scourging, yes, also others in chains and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskin, in goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Verse 38, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, and all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive that what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. A better resurrection. Throughout the book of Hebrews, God is giving us what we need in order to handle the brutality and the pain of this life. Basically, if you have it, you can handle anything. I'm going to give you the solution that if you have it, you can handle anything. You can handle anything. In chapter 11, we have this list of some of the greatest heroes of the Bible. In fact, often Hebrews 11 is called Faith's Hall of Fame. You've got incredible people like Enoch, who never saw death. God just took him to heaven. We talked about him a few weeks ago. We have people like Abraham and Noah and Abel and all these people. And each verse begins with two words, by faith. You see, anything worth having is always done by faith. Anything worth having is done by faith. And in every case, what's interesting is when you read Hebrews and you read these people's story in the Bible, is in every case, they seem doomed. But then in the nick of time, God steps in and intervenes. Verse 33 says, Daniel's faith stopped the mouths of lions. We have a God who can shut the devil and his compatriots shut their mouths. Hallelujah. Okay? Then verse 34 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had faith that quenched the power of fire. The Bible says they came out and they didn't even have the smell of smoke on their clothes. Verse 35 says, by faith, women received their dead by a resurrection. The Shunammite woman and the widow of Zarephath received their kids back from the dead. And so throughout Hebrews 11, we have these amazing stories of God's intervention, how he steps in when we need him to step in. But this is the key. Our faith, our understanding of faith cannot stop there. It can't. If you think, if your idea of faith is, well, if I just pray enough, if I just try enough, if I'm just good enough, if I just work hard enough, everything will just work out. You are doomed. You are doomed. Johnny Erickson Tada, when she was 18 years old, dove into the shallow water in the Chesapeake Bay. She broke her neck, becoming a quadriplegic, 18 years old, and paralyzed from the neck down. And her well-meaning but misguided friends told her, and I've often in my ministry heard people say things like this, if your faith's strong enough, God will heal you. If it's not, he won't. You see, their definition of faith was, definition of faith equals prosperity in this world. Their understanding of faith is, well, if you have enough of it, everything will work out the way you think it ought to work out. But friends, Job is a reminder that you can lose everything and still be favored by God. Nothing can work out the way you wanted it to, and you can be on the path of righteousness. And so fortunately for Johnny Erickson and us today, Hebrews 11 does not end with the first sentence in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 35. It continues, interestingly, with one word. That word is others. There are others. There are others who believed, who had faith, who trusted in God, and yet God did not intervene. There are others. In Acts chapter 12, one of my favorite stories, Peter is arrested for preaching the word of God. Peter's arrested. He's shackled. He's in prison. Two guards, check this out. Two guards are sleeping on both sides of Peter. But because Peter prays and because the church prays, an angel shows up and busts Peter out of jail. I love that story. But there are others. Others like John the Baptist, who went into prison, whose disciples prayed, but he was not released. No, he was beheaded. King David, man, he's one of the heroes of Scripture. He's a rascal in Scripture too. But think about David's story. It's the total rags to riches story. David was the runt of the litter. All right, his own dad didn't even believe he could be the king, so he doesn't even bring him to present him to the priest. Okay, but Daniel does become king. It's just an amazing story. He was the runt of the litter, but because of David's faith, David conquered lions and giants and bears. Oh my. I mean, that's David's story. Even when David messes up, God seems to turn it around. Everyone wants to be like David, but there are others like Jonathan. You want to talk about integrity and character? Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of a king. He had nobility. Jonathan had courage. Jonathan had honor. Jonathan had all the things David didn't have. He was a great warrior. He had the best education money could buy. But because he was faithful, he didn't become king. No, instead he died in a battle far from home. So see, David trusted in God, everything worked out. Jonathan trusted in God, nothing seemed to work out. There are others. The widows in the Old Testament that the Bible alludes to here, the Shunammite woman and the widow of Zarephath, they experienced the ultimate rescue. They experienced the ultimate intervention. God brings their dead children back to life.
because there cannot be anything worse. And I can't imagine for the parents that have gone through it, there cannot be any worse pain or grief than losing a child. And so God brings their dead children back to life. But there are others, mothers and fathers throughout history, who did not get their children back. Hebrews 11, 36 through 38 says, others who experienced mockings and scourgings, others who experienced chains and imprisonment. There were others who were stoned. I mean, think of the people in the Bible. There were others who were sawn in two. Most scholars believe that's a reference to Isaiah, that Isaiah was sawn in half. You know, they were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskin, in goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. So how in the world can these others remain faithful to God? How can we remain faithful to God even when things do not work out the way we think they should work out? You see, these people stayed faithful knowing that their faith would not spare them from the grave, but it would actually take them to the grave. How can we, the church, have a faith like that? Three words, verse 35, a better resurrection. You see, as wonderful as it was for the widows to get their sons back, as wonderful it was for Martha and Mary to have Lazarus back, as wonderful as it was for Jairus to get his daughter back, they were still susceptible to disease, depression, death, broken bones, broken promises, broken lives. You see, death had only been postponed for Lazarus. Death had only been postponed for the widow's sons. Death had only been postponed for Jairus' daughter. It was only a temporary solution. I want you to think about the triumphal entry. The triumphal entry and the excitement around the triumphal entry is all of the excitement of what Jesus can do in your life. Okay, don't get me wrong. Jesus can do some awesome things in your life. But the triumphal entry is the essence of what we get excited about. But it all has to do with temporary. Yeah, they were excited because here's someone who can heal the sick. They were excited because this is a Messiah that can feed the hungry. Imagine what you could do with someone like that in terms of military. This guy could feed the army, heal the army, and resurrect the dead. You know, their ideas was here's a Messiah who could get in there and really show Rome who's boss. And if we're honest, if we were to analyze our prayers, often our prayers deal with what we want to see Jesus do in our life. Which, praise the Lord, take those to God. But often our prayers deal with not the eternal, but temporary. Lord, bless the finances. Lord, I need you to salvage the marriage. Lord, I need you to heal the son or daughter. Lord, I need you to really get in there and show the cancer who's boss. And don't get me wrong, we go to God with these prayers. The problem is, if you follow Jesus for any length of time, you know that often Christ does not do what you would have him do. And so that's what these people at the triumphal entry experience. Instead of going to the throne, Jesus goes to a cross. Instead of getting crowned, he goes and gets himself killed. And what happens is our expectations, when they do not turn out the way we think they should, often they turn into resentments. And our hosannas turn into crucify him. And we stop waving palm branches and we start waving our fists. How could you let this happen to me, God? I'm not going back to the church, God. I've had enough of this, God. But listen, friends, the others of Hebrews 11 put their faith in something better and bigger than just a temporary solution. And when people say to me, Pastor, I prayed so long to God and he didn't come through for me. I trusted him, but he failed me. I always tell them, God did not fail you. Your plan for God failed you. There is a difference between God and your plan for God. You see, these people, and I'm talking to some people in the church today. There are some people who would think, you see, these people in Hebrews 11, they didn't place their faith in their agenda for God. They placed their faith in God. And there's many of us who have our faith in God's agenda. Okay, by this year, I'm going to be married. By this year, I'm going to be debt-free. By this year, give me a break. These people cultivated such a deep satisfaction in God, not their agenda for God, in God, that they knew he was better than anything that this life could give them or death could take away from them. And that's the type of faith I want. Amen? That's the kind of faith, and that's how you're going to handle anything that comes your way in this life. If you only believe in the faith of the first part of Hebrews 11, that by faith, God's going to shut every lion's mouth in your life, God's going to make sure you don't burn up in any situation in your life, if you think God's always going to rescue you when you go through pain and tribulation, you're doomed. But God gives us the answer in these last these final two verses, 39 and 40 of Hebrews 11. It says, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. But check this out. Notice what it says here. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. Verse 40, God had something better. Better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. What's this verse saying? What these two verses are basically saying is if the others in Hebrews 11 went through all the pain they went through just for a promise, then we should have even more faith because that promise has become a person in Jesus Christ. You see, all these people of the Old Testament, they stood tall and their faith enabled them to do things. These others were able to get sawn in two. I mean, if Isaiah was sawn in half for a promise, I can allow my schedule to be sawn in half for Jesus. It's not just a promise. Jesus has come. Jesus has lived. Jesus died. And hallelujah, Jesus is raised again. If Elijah stood alone for a promise, then I can stand alone for the person of Jesus. If Jonathan was forsaken for a promise, I can be forsaken for the person of Jesus. And you want to know what's amazing about Jesus? Is when he came to this earth, he chose not to identify with the first group in Hebrews, the ones that received an amazing miracle or an intervention or God stepped in. No, he chose to identify with the others. He was tortured. Jesus did not accept deliverance. Jesus had, if anybody ever had a trial of mockings and scourgings, it was Jesus. People cried out, but no angel appeared to release him. They said, if you really are the Son of Man, come off Calvary. But hallelujah, Jesus stayed on the cross. It was his love for you and not the nails that held him there. He stayed on Calvary. He could have come off there, but then we would have been doomed. No chariot of fire came to rapture him. No one stood in the fire with Jesus. Jesus was completely forsaken. Check it out. Jesus was born in a borrowed room, and he died in a borrowed tomb. Why? Because he wants to give you a better resurrection. He doesn't just want to resuscitate you. He doesn't just want to be a source of prevention or intervention. He wants to be a better resurrection. While Johnny Erickson was still trying to come to terms with her horror, she would go to church in her wheelchair. And one of the problems with being in a wheelchair in church is that at a certain point in the program, as we do here, the pastor would call for everyone to kneel. And that drove home the fact that she was stuck in a wheelchair and she could no longer kneel. And so she couldn't stop crying as she tells this story. But her crying was not self-pity. Her crying wasn't feeling sorry for herself. No, she says this, I cried because of the sight of hundreds of people on their knees before God was so beautiful. It was a picture of heaven. She said, sitting there, I was reminded that in heaven, I will be free to jump up, dance, kick, do aerobics. Do people even still do aerobics? You know what she's getting at. And then she says this, and sometime before the guests are called to the banquet table at the wedding feast of the Lamb, the first thing I plan to do on resurrected legs is to drop on grateful, glorified knees and quietly kneel at the feet of my Savior. My broken, atrophied body will be changed into a new body, light, bright, and clothed with righteousness. Hallelujah is right. It is a better resurrection. After the resurrection, the first thing Jesus does is show the disciples his scars. Why would he do that? Well, yeah, it was to show them that he was flesh and blood and that he was really Jesus, but it was more than that. This is why Jesus, the first thing he does to the disciples after he's resurrected is he shows the disciples his nail prints. It's because when the disciples saw the nails go into Jesus' hands, they thought their lives were over. Those nails had just ruined their plans. Just like when Johnny Erickson was paralyzed, she probably thought that had ruined her life. Just as some of us going through the divorce have thought that's going to ruin my life. Just as some of us think when we have to declare bankruptcy, we think that is going to ruin our lives. We're like the disciples, you know, and so the disciples saw those nails go into Jesus's hands and feet, and they thought he had ruined their plans. They choked, they denied him, and they disappeared because the person that they had chosen to be their next president did not win the presidency. He was lynched and he was killed. But this is the kicker. The very thing they thought had ruined their lives had actually saved their lives. The marks they thought were a sign of God deserting them was actually a sign of God's greatest love for them. Don't you dare let the temporary pain take your eyes off the eternal gain. God's plan for us is always so much bigger than our plan for God. Did you know that? You see, this is the beauty of the better resurrection. If you're lonely today, in the better resurrection, you're going to find perfect love. You see, this is the beauty. If you're empty today, in the better resurrection, you will be satisfied. You see, the beauty is in the better resurrection, you will truly be satisfied. You will truly have your thirst quenched. You will truly have what you need. You see, the people we loved and lost, we get them back. The health we loved and lost, we get it back. The hair we loved and lost, we get it back. Some of you should have been shouting hallelujah. No, seriously, friends, that's the beauty of, that's why it's called the better resurrection. We get everything back, but better. The body's back, but this time without the cancer. The body's back, but without the aches. The mind's back, but without the craziness. The mouth's back, but without the gossip. Hallelujah, it is the better resurrection. And you know what? If we know that on that glorious day, we get all of that, then who cares what people say about you? Who cares what people think about you? We're not here to please people. We're here to please the Prince of Peace. Oh, man. Who cares what this life takes away from you if on that day we get everything back but better? On that day that God makes everything right, on the day that everything sad comes untrue, all the pain, this is why the scars, Jesus will have them throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, is because all the pain we went through in this life will only make our future life with Christ that much greater. You see, the scars of Jesus make him more beautiful. No intervention. God didn't step in. He cried out to the Father, but the Father was silent. You will find, just like those scars, that the worst things that have happened to you in this life, I know it's hard to comprehend that now, but the worst things that have happened to you in this life will only enhance your eternal joy and peace and life to come. When God turns everything inside out, you will come to know a joy that goes beyond the walls of this world. Jesus is saying to each of us today, in this resurrection weekend, embrace me and every death will turn to a resurrection. Embrace me and every failure will lead to a victory. Come with me and every empty heart will be filled. Everything wrong will eventually be made right. Every sorrow will eventually turn to gold. Not just resuscitation, not just intervention, not a temporary solution. I'm talking, hallelujah, about a better resurrection. Amen. Cling to Christ. You can have that hope. In Christ Jesus today, let us pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. And we are so thankful for the hope and the promise of a better resurrection. The better resurrection empowers us to walk through this life and to not be torn up from the floor up by the things that may not go our way. We can trust and obey and follow you to the uttermost. Because we know a better resurrection is on the horizon. We don't want to compromise our salvation for something less. We want something better. So be with us, make us, mold us, change us in the mighty name of Jesus. That as we transition into this ordinance of humility and this communion service, that we will truly surrender all to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In his name we pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Pastor Josh will now have the blessing over both the body and the blood.
Let's bow our heads. Father God of heaven, your mercy endures forever. Amen. You have established this plan of salvation from the foundation of the world. And God of heaven, great and marvelous are you. For we are a people in darkness, in desperate need of light. And Jesus has come, and we praise you for that working. Lord, we are hungry and thirsty. And we know that the sacrifice in which Christ has done has accomplished so much. And through these symbols of the bread of your body, and through the grape juice of your blood, Father, we pray that you pour your Spirit over us, a spirit of conviction, of righteousness, a spirit of judge. Draw near to us now, Father, for we pray these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
In Matthew, it says that they sung a hymn and departed. And so at this time, we will stand and sing just the first verse of hymn 350, Blessed Be the Ties That Bind. Go from this place in the promise and the hope of a better resurrection.